Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Friday. That's right. It is Friday, January 12th, 2018. Really hope you all have had a fantastic week out there. Michigan is so weird sometimes, isn't it? Boy, oh boy, Michigan can just be just so stupid sometimes, right? 50 degrees yesterday, didn't see a snowflake in the air, all the snow melting. I loved it. 50 degrees, you go outside with a light jacket on, and then all of a sudden, you know, we go to dreamland and wake up to a winter wonderland. So, safe travels to anyone out there traveling to work on this Friday afternoon. And thank goodness, thank the man above for getting to work safely, right, for those that did. Drive safe out there. Bundle up. It is, well, depending on if you like snow or don't like it. I fall on, you know, the team that doesn't like snow around this time of the year. I can't wait until the weather breaks. But we have to endure it, right? It's Michigan. So, yeah, crappy weather, but hey, we're here to keep you warm with a hot edition of Current Sports throughout this hour. We are going to close this week out here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM with a bang. On today's Current Sports, I got to get something off my chest as it concerns the whole Thomas Kithier Michigan High School Athletic Association court case. Got to get something off my chest because this is a story that has rubbed many the wrong way, including myself, and I just don't get it. I just don't understand why Thomas Kithier is not on the basketball court playing in his final year of high school. Don't understand it. I'm going to go on a bit of a rant. You'll hear my take on the latest news concerning Thomas Kithier, who is a future Michigan State men's basketball player. 2018 recruit. You don't want to miss that. And I'm curious to get your thoughts, those who have been following the story. And if you haven't, don't worry about it. I am going to break it down layer by layer by layer. All right? Don't miss that. Also, Michigan State and Michigan go at it in a rivalry matchup on the basketball court tomorrow afternoon at the Breslin Center. And as you know, we give away a pair of tickets here on WKAR's Current Sports to each and every home MSU men's basketball hoop game. But we make you earn them, and we are going to do that in a fun way today. We're going to mix it up a bit. We're going to have your regular trivia, so you're going to have to earn it that way. However, we are going to have two of our listeners go head-to-head to snag these tickets. We'll explain later on this hour in segment B. We will also have members of family here on WKAR's Current Sports. Family, the acronym standing for Forget About Me, I Love You. It's an organization started by our dear friend of Current Sports, Keon Clinton. And we'll have a few members in to talk about the extraordinary things they are doing here on the campus of Michigan State University. You don't want to miss that. And we will have Reflection Friday for you, where we will preview the NFL playoff weekend. We'll do all of that while inviting you to be a part of the fun. Call in 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to dial. You can also join us via facebook.com/currentsports and weigh in That way, the live stream is up and running. You can comment below the video, and I'll do my best to get you your comments throughout this hour. And you can tweet us. Two ways you can do so. Tweet me at my Twitter handle, at Al Martin, WKAR. And if you don't tweet me, at least follow me, all right? Trying to get my followers up, as I always am, right? Or tweet the show, at WKAR underscore sports. Hey, Ian Hawley, current sports engineer. Let's hit him with our current sports quick hit headliners. Right, and we begin with some unfortunate news for arguably the best high school girls basketball player in the area. That concerning senior guard Maddie Waters. We mentioned on yesterday's current sports how Maddie went down with an injury, looked to be a leg injury of some sorts. That took place on Tuesday. We actually had Zach Berridge in of WILX TV 10 to talk about that injury as well. And we were hoping for the best, hoping for nothing serious. But unfortunately, the senior year for Maddie Waters comes to a close. Her high school career comes to a close because results from an MRI on Thursday revealed that Waters has a torn ACL and she will be sidelined for the remainder of the season. She suffered the injury during the second half of the Tuesday win over Hazlitt. That was a 58-50 final in favor of the Hornets. She is a Western Michigan signee, and Waters was averaging a Lansing area best, 22.6 points, 2.7 steals, and made 25 three-pointers through 10 games for Class B number one ranked Willie, which is 10-0, entering Friday's key CAAC white contest against Fowlerville. I saw some of her comments concerning the injury, and she was, you know, she spoke like a leader, saying that she still has to be there for her teammates. She will be there encouraging them, and we'll see how this affects the Williamston girls basketball team as they move forward. Now we're working on actually trying to get Maddie on current sports sometime next week. We wish her the best and look forward to possibly having her on our airwaves to talk about, you know, the transition now. All right. And also want to bring this story to you all. The owner of the gymnastics club where Larry Nassar admitted to sexually assaulting gymnasts was, quote, fooled by Nassar, end quote. And the lawsuits against the owner and the club should be dismissed. Attorneys wrote in a motion filed today, actually. That's coming from Twistar's Gymnastics Club. Now, some 140 women and girls have filed lawsuits, most in federal court in Grand Rapids against Michigan State University, USA Gymnastics, John Gettert, and Twistar's Gymnastics Club, that being located in Diamonddale, Michigan, here in mid-Michigan, where Gettert owns, actually. Gettert also served as coach to the U.S. Olympic, gymnastics team back in 2012. So all the women and girls say Nassar sexually abused them, most saying it happened at Michigan State, Twistar's, or a USA Gymnastics event. The lawsuits allege that Gettert and the organizations knew or should have known that Nassar was sexually abusing women and girls and failed to protect them. So Gettert is saying that he was fooled by Nassar and that the lawsuit should be dismissed. So we'll see what happens as that story moves along. All right, the Lansing Lugnuts will be led by Cesar Martin. That's right, Martin is actually returning. Martin's first year as the head man in charge with the Lansing Lugnuts was last season, and he has announced that he will return with the club. And that's good news because, you know, you see a lot in minor league baseball, a ton of turnover from year to year to year because, again, it's minor league baseball and every coach is looking for that next challenge, right? So Martin, who replaced John Schneider last year, he will be the manager for another season. That's according to the Lansing State Journal. Brian Calloway reporting that news yesterday.
And how about this? A Michigan State women's basketball team, a big win on the road at the Xfinity Center last night. Taryn McCutcheon just went insane in the membrane. East Lansing's own McCutcheon. The efforts from the sophomore point guard helped Michigan State pick up a signature road victory. McCutcheon had a career high 25 points as the Spartans knocked off Big Ten leading and number 11 ranked Maryland 82-68 last night. Not even close. Michigan State forced 24 turnovers while holding the high scoring Terps 19 points below their season average of 87 points. Thursday marked just the third time Maryland was held below 70 points this season. The key stretch of the game came in the middle stages of the third quarter. Maryland made a run and had cut the Spartans' lead to 45-43, but the Spartans closed the quarter, get this, on a 16-6 run with Taryn and Kennedy Johnson delivering key buckets to help gain control. Michigan State's next contest will be held next week, Wednesday, when the team will travel to Illinois. All right, and we all know the big game is now just a day away, right? Michigan travels to play number 4 Michigan State tomorrow at the Breslin Center in East Lansing. It's the only meeting between the rivals in the regular season. So if you don't catch this one, folks, you are out of luck. The Spartans are coming off their two toughest games of the season, an 80-64 loss at Ohio State on Sunday and a 76-72 overtime thriller escape against Rutgers on Wednesday. Michigan State's 5 starters combined for 68 points against the Scarlet Knights, and the Spartans got better ball movement with 19 assists on 21 baskets. Now, the Wolverines are coming off their first home loss of the season, a 70-69 one-point loss to number 7 Purdue. With 6 seconds left, Charles Matthews lost the ball while driving to the basket. After a long replay review, the Wolverines lost possession and then lost the game on a free throw from Isaac Haas, Purdue's 7'2" center, as Mo Wagner fouled Haas. The Wolverines are going to need more from Matthews if they are going to pull off an upset over the rival number 4 Spartans. We'll see what happens tomorrow. And speaking of MSU men's basketball, Michigan State men's basketball player Miles Bridges was selected to the John R. Wooden Midseason Top 25, chosen by a poll of national college basketball experts. The midseason list is comprised of 25 student athletes who are front runners for the sport's most prestigious honor based on their performances during the first half of the 2017-18 season. So even with the chatter of Miles not being aggressive enough and his numbers not being really, really sexy, still he is named in the top 25 of the John R. Wooden Midseason Player of the Year Award. All right, Sherrone Moore, who coached tight ends at the University of Michigan. Well, I should say who coached tight ends at Central Michigan University and was recruiting coordinator at CMU, reportedly has joined Michigan's football staff, according to a source report by Central Michigan Life. Moore already is listed in Michigan's directory with an athletics tag. It is unclear what Moore will coach at Michigan. It is likely he will be on offense, though. And tonight, you can catch Unified Women Super Middleweight World Champion Clarissa Shields, Flint's favorite daughter and undefeated IBF mandatory challenger Tori Nelson, both making weight on Thursday for their 10-round WBC IBF Super Middleweight World Championship showdown. You can catch it tonight at 10 p.m. The 22-year-old, two-time Olympic gold medalist Shields, she's 4-0, 2 KOs. She will face her second consecutive undefeated opponent in the former world champion Nelson, who sits at 17-0-3. 2 knockouts. That match will be televised on Showtime on premium television. I tell you what, Clarissa Shields is certainly moving the needle when it comes to female boxing. Very impressive stuff. All right, folks, that wraps it up. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you would like to be a part of our airwaves. You can join us also at facebook.com/currentsports. Live stream is up and running. Comment below that video. I'll do my best to get to your comments, or you can join us via Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Let's keep this train a-movin'.
case was not about Mr. Kiffier. It was about enforcing its rules.
The villain of this piece is the MHSAA that didn't give a hoot about Thomas Kiffier and made a ruling to prove that they...
The wealth of case law that we cited and the judge looked towards for her ruling says that there simply is not a due process constitutional right to participate in interscholastic athletics.
Obviously, we're disappointed. Thomas and his family, we're all disappointed. We're very hard on this to do everything we know how to do for the big fellow to play.
You go stop the next 100 people walking down the street and ask them two questions. Number one, do you think parents should be able to put their kid in whatever school they want? Should Thomas get here and be allowed to play? 95% of the people are going to say, absolutely. Why not?
Happy Friday, ladies and gents. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. And I should say boys and girls as well, because it's a lot of snow out there right now here in mid-Michigan. And to my understanding, many students have a snow day today. How about that? So what do you do on a snow day, right? You tune in to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin, and I want to start by getting something off my chest. You just heard a snippet from the attorneys of Thomas Kiffier, who is in the press due to the situation of Kiffier sitting out his senior season. Well, I shouldn't say sitting out, being ruled ineligible for his senior season. A former player at Macomb, Dakota, deciding to transfer to Clarkson. But that move was blocked by the Michigan High School Athletic Association because the MHSAA ruled the move athletically motivated. All right, so I want to start by getting this off my chest. But first off, you look at the situation and you break it down into layers, right? Because I got to be real with you. When it comes to the transfer situation concerning Kiffier, I believe there's so many things wrong with it, even though this handbook rule is in place, and a rule is a rule. What's being done to Thomas Kiffier is an absolute crime. I ask, since when in the world did high school athletics become like Game of Thrones? I mean, really, it's ridiculous. Kiffier transferring to Clarkson over the summer after playing his first 3 years at Macomb, Dakota. Dakota decided to not sign the transfer waiver. Thus, the Michigan High School Athletic Association ruled Kiffier ineligible on the premise that it was an athletically motivated transfer. My question is, why was Dakota so salty about this? I mean, is it really that serious? Is your ego really that hurt to where you would ruin an 8-year-old's opportunity to go play basketball at a program not named Macomb, Dakota? Why so serious, I ask? Those who didn't sign that transfer waiver at Macomb, Dakota should be just absolutely ashamed of themselves. Grown adults feeling some type of way about a high school senior wanting to leave the school. It's sickening to me. Now, as I comb through this story, there are a few areas that I just don't understand. I'm all about keeping it real. So on the flip side, when I heard that Kiffier's parents noted that the transfer was academically motivated, I did just that. I chuckled a bit because we all know that most, if not all,
transfers involving athletes are athletically motivated. Student athletes in high school who are just not happy with where they are, maybe not getting enough playing time, or maybe wanting to go play with their homie somewhere else, that they aren't thinking about academics when making this move. All right, I've never seen that. This was athletically motivated, without a doubt. And in Kithier's family saying that this was academically motivated, this was just the Kithiers trying to play the, quote, he didn't break the rule, end quote, card, which refers to the MHSAA handbook. Now, what does the rule say, you ask? Well, the rule comes from the handbook, Section 9E. And, you know, and also number 7. I guess Section 9E, point number 7 of the MHSAA handbook, describing the definition of athletically motivated transfers. And this is what it states, quote, the student seeks to participate with the teammates or coaches with whom he or she participated in non-school competition during the preceding 12 months. That is what the rule states. The MHSAA handbook rule, section 9E, point number 7. The student seeks to participate with the teammates or coaches with whom he or she participated in non-school competition during the preceding 12 months. That is a rule that, frankly, is complete nonsense. It truly is. Transfers happen all the time. This is not new. And I want to note a great piece written by the great Mick McCabe, longtime retired sports writer for the Detroit Free Press, has been covering high school sports for like 40 plus years. He noted in a piece, a piece special to the Freep back in December. This is what he says, quote, how in the world can Dakota administrators claim the moral high ground here? Its entire program was built on transfers. Going back 3 years, when Charles Penn, Tariq Jones, and Jermaine Jackson Jr. left Mount Clemens, and last year when Jack Ballantyne left Warren D. LaSalle. He goes on to say in the piece, quote, the state of Michigan has become the wild, wild west when it comes to transfers. Detroit Cass Tech, get this. Cass Tech had 11 transfers on its football team. West Bloomfield had 5. Waterford Mott has gotten to the transfer frenzy, and something had to be done. 11 transfers at Cass Tech. Can you believe that? This handbook rule was put in place in 2014. And to comb through that, and I want to focus on this piece of the rule in the handbook. It was put in place in 2014 and says that if a player decides to transfer, that player can have in any way an affiliation from anyone within that athletic program prior to. You can't have any affiliation with anyone within that program, not a player, not a coach, not a member of the training staff, no one. And if that rule is violated, it's up to the school. And I think that's key here. It's up to the school to report that activity when a transfer occurs. So it's not, you know, the MHSAA's responsibility, according to this rule in the handbook. It's up to the school whether or not they want to pull the trigger and cry foul here. Macomb, Dakota did that. Not many schools do that, but Macomb, Dakota decided to do that. You know why not many schools decide to cry foul? Because at the end of the day, it's just not that serious. It really isn't. This is high school sports we are talking about. These are coaches in high school athletics that are getting paid peanuts. This is not big time college athletics where millions of dollars are being thrown around to coaches. And if you don't win, your livelihood is basically at stake. That's what you do. If you are a collegiate coach, that is what you do because your salary is enough to make a pretty good living, depending on where you coach, right, and what level of athletics. But if you're a collegiate coach, that's what you do. College athletics, where if you don't win, you're going to be fired. And you have no other stream of income because coaching is what you do. It's all you do. Many high school coaches have another gig that pays the bills. Heck, many coaches that join us here on WKAR's Current Sports, you know what they do? They teach. They're teachers. They're in academia because high school athletics alone is not enough to pay the rent. Teaching pays the bills, not coaching. High school coaches coach, and I think this is very timely because yesterday on Current Sports we had Dan Bogan, a part of the show, retiring head football coach of Lansing Sexton High School. But you know what else Dan did? He was and will still be an assistant principal at Lansing Sexton. That's the main stream of income for Dan Bogan. High school coaches coach because they love having a profound impact on the lives of young people. That's what it's about. That's what is serious here. The transfer rule is much more important at the collegiate level. If you talk about competitiveness and weighing the balance scale of competitiveness, high school sports are a different ballgame. MHSAA, the Michigan High School Athletic Association, an organization in which many great people are employed at. Heck, we had a few on our show. Shout out to Jeff Kimmerly. He actually was the first person, the only person to join us here on Current Sports to sort of clear up the whole Thomas Kithier situation. John Johnson, great job. Doing a fabulous job. Has done a fabulous job for many years at the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Many great people work at the MHSAA. I tell you what. When you look at this move, whoever is involved in taking this thing this far to not allow Thomas Kithier to be eligible and ruled to play on January 15th, you should be ashamed of yourself. Right is right. I don't care what the rule says. Take the moral high ground here. Macomb, Dakota, you should be ashamed of yourself. You snatched away the final year of a talented young man that just wanted to play high school basketball and spend his senior year building memories. All for what? What do you gain here? What do you gain in this? An ego boost of enforcing the rules? You haven't enforced the rules on a consistent basis ever. So what makes this situation different? As McCabe notes, quote, the Kithiers and Clarkston officials see transfers playing all over the state and wonder why the Michigan High School Athletic Association has singled them out. Benton Harbor has four transfers. Two from Berrien Springs and two from Stevensville Lakeshore. And they are playing. A Benton Harbor assistant was banned for 2 years for undue influence. But aren't those transfers athletically motivated too? Of course they are. So how are they eligible? sometimes adults can act so petty. Petty like middle schoolers. I don't get it. And I really feel for Thomas Kithier. Looking forward to seeing him in a green and white jersey balling out for Tom Izzo's MSU men's basketball team. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. I see many of you weighing in on Facebook.com/currentsports. I'll get to your comments in just a moment. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we are going to give away a pair of tickets to check out the Michigan State and Michigan men's basketball game. We're going to make you earn them. Actually, the first two callers who call in will compete for a pair of tickets to check out the Spartans and Wolverines tomorrow afternoon. If you want to compete for those tickets, you'll go head-to-head in a trivia extravaganza here on this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be right back. You are listening to Current Sports right here live on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports on this Friday. As I like to say, Friday. Again, be safe out there. The weather is not ideal as we got a ton of snow last night after having 50-degree weather yesterday. It was so nice yesterday. I hit up the gym. I was tempted to go outside and actually run, but I didn't because I hate running. So I didn't. I just went to Planet Fitness and got my my lift on and looked great. Walked outside, 50 degrees, and then went to bed, woke up, and snow everywhere. That's how the cookie crumbles doing in Michigan. So stay warm, dress warm, drive safe. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In just a moment, in about 5 minutes or so, we are going to welcome family live here in Studio West. Forget about me. I love you. You know, you guys know we've had my fraternity brother, dear friend Keon Clinton, in the house to talk about family and to talk about, you know, his weightlifting endeavors. He is the founder of Family, and it has really just been growing and growing. It seems by the year, by the semester, we will have two representatives that will join me live in studio to talk about what Family has upcoming. Miranda Carter and Alana Jackson. Miranda Carter is the community outreach coordinator for Family, and Alana Jackson is the social media liaison. They will talk about a few events coming up. But before we do that, we want to give away a pair of tickets to check out tomorrow's Michigan State men's basketball game. The Spartans taking on the Wolverines. Michigan State, these last two games, they have been a bit ugly. Needed overtime to beat Rutgers, and they fell pretty hard to Ohio State on the road. We'll see if they can get back on track. Taking on a Wolverines team that was pretty competitive against the Purdue Boilermakers earlier this week, only losing by 1 point. Do you want to check out that game? Well, we make you earn the tickets here on WKAR's Current Sports, and I want to do it in a pretty creative way. You guys know we usually give away the tickets, I should say, in a trivia format. You got to answer a trivia question. But I thought, why not? Michigan and Michigan State, let's have some fun with this. And let's go beyond just college basketball. Let's go beyond the Spartans and Wolverines rivalry. We're going to just have a sports trivia head-to-head showdown with two of our listeners who have been waiting patiently on line one and two. You know what? Ian Hawley, engineer behind the glass. First off, Ian, we haven't heard from you all hour. How are you doing, my man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well, sir. I'm doing all right.
We got
a couple of guests here in the studio that are ready to take their spots. So let's get this trivia started.
Yeah,
without
a doubt. And I'll let you introduce them because you got their names and they're waiting patiently right now. Who are they, Ian?
We got Mrs. Carter here. She is the I'm sorry. Will you guys want to? The community outreach coordinator.
She's competing for the tickets?
No. I'm sorry.
About the tickets.
I thought you meant the guests.
Oh, no,
I apologize.
Rather, no, we get they'll Max texting and relaxing in the back. No, we're talking about the two callers who are competing for the tickets. We'll get to them in just a second. But right now, we introduce the two callers for us. Who is competing for the tickets, Ian?
We got Steve from Jackson, and we got Ben from East Lansing.
Oh, I knew Ben was going to call in. Steve, Ben, how are you guys doing? Are they there, Ben? Steve?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, here we are. Are you guys ready? Ready to compete for these tickets? Okay, they're amped up. Ian, let's hit them with. Do we have some Family Feud or something trivia music we can play beforehand? You ready? Bam. Okay, one of my favorite game shows, and a lot of the questions go over my head though. Jeopardy. Shout out to Alex Trebek. Okay. Well, like I noted, we are going to throw out questions to both Ben and Steve, and the first one to three correct answers will win a pair of tickets to check out Michigan State and Michigan tomorrow. So who should we start with, Ian, Ben, or Steve? I'll let you choose.
Well, I got on the line with Steve first, so okay. I think it's only fair to let him go first.
All right, we'll start with Steve, and the way I'll do this is, Steve, when I ask you the question, I'm going to give you just 5 seconds, so then you can't just Google it, right? Because that's what we do in 2018, right? We just Google the answers, right? So I'm going to give you 5 seconds. If you get the answer correct, boom, you get it correct, and then it goes to Ben, and Ben has a chance to match you. But if you don't get it correct, that same question will be thrown into the lap of Ben, and we'll go back and forth like that. First 1, 2, 3 correct answers will win those tickets. Sound good? Steve, Ben, you guys ready?
Yep,
go ahead.
All right, Steve, this is your first trivia question. In 1990, two major league greats made baseball history by becoming the first father-son duo to hit back-to-back homers in an MLB game. What was that father-son duo? I'll give you 5 seconds, Steve. Think about it.
I'd say the Griffies.
Do we have the sound effect to see if he got that right or wrong? Ian? Do we have it? All right, I'll just say it. Bam, cha-ching. You got it right. There you go.
All right.
1-0. You nailed that. Yes, it was, Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. Great job, Steve. All right, Ben, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Broncos quarterback, former quarterback, I should say, Peyton Manning, was named Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year a few years back. It was the first time he took the honor, Ben. The winner of the award in 2000 was the first athlete to win that award for a second time. Who was that athlete? He's a pretty big name. I'll give you 5 seconds, Ben.
Oh, I want to say, is it NFL related? Is it?
I can't give you that hint. I can't. Oh. I wish I could.
I'm going to say Michael Jordan.
Wrong.
As Trump just said, wrong. It is not Michael Jordan, unfortunately. Ben, that would have been my guess, too, though. It was actually Tiger Woods who was first named the Sportsman of the Year back in 96. All right. 1-0, I should say. Steve is still leading. That means it goes now back to Steve with a new question, okay? All right, Steve, you ready?
Yep.
All right, let me pick a good one for you. You know what? Speaking of Michael Jordan, why not? I'll throw a Jordan question at you, the GOAT. Everyone knows that Hall of Fame great Michael Jordan played his college ball at North Carolina, but playing for the Tar Heels wasn't his first choice. In fact, he actually rooted for NC State while growing up. Who did his heiress originally want to play for? Need an answer right now, Steve. Who is it? Just throw out a school.
Jim Valvano. Oh, school?
Yeah, school. Which school did Mike want to play for before UNC?
UNC Charlotte.
Wrong.
No, it's not. No, not UNC Charlotte. Ben, you can steal. Which school did MJ want to play for before going to North Carolina?
I want to say...
Need an answer now, Ben.
Notre Dame?
No, it is not wrong. Notre Dame. Wrong. MJ's first choice was UCLA. That's a tough one. That is really a tough one. Okay. Steve, well, no, this time it goes to Ben now. Ben, your question. You ready?
Yep.
In May 2001, a member of the Chicago Cubs was intentionally walked a record 5 times by the Cincinnati Reds in an effort to break the record shared by the great Rogers Maris and Gary Templeton. Can you name that Cub? This is a really tough one.
I want to say it was Sammy Sosa.
No, that's not it. Steve, you can steal.
Mark Grace?
No, the great Andre Dawson is...
I don't like that.
Yeah, Andre Dawson. All right, well, here we go. Okay, so this one goes to Steve now. You ready, Steve?
Yep.
Okay, here's your question. Back in the day, ESPN college football analyst Lee Corso actually played college football. We all know that, right? In the mid-50s, he attended Florida State and roomed with another notable nose player who would go on to be a pretty famous actor. Can you name who that actor is? Who is that? Who is that roomie for Lee Corso?
Burt Reynolds.
Bam! Nailed it. Is that what, 2-0 now for Steve? Ian? Cha-ching. All right,
yes,
Steve
sir.
Is up 2-0. All right, Ben, you got to climb yourself out of a hole, my man. Let's see here. Well, let me give a good one here. Why not? All right, we'll go with this one, Ben. You ready? You need a comeback,
yep.
Ben. You need a comeback, brother. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, presidential ceremonial pitches have been a tradition in MLB since opening day of the 1910 season. Who was the first president to throw out a ceremonial first pitch? Who is that, Ben?
I want to say Ronald Reagan.
Wrong.
Wrong. It is not Ronald Reagan, Ben. Steve for the steal and the win.
No clue. I'm going FDR, maybe?
No.
Wrong.
Not FDR. It was William Howard Taft. That's a really, really tough one. Bonus fact on that one. Since 1910, every president except Jimmy Carter has thrown out at least one ceremonial first pitch, even Richard Nixon. Has President Donald Trump done that, Ian?
Not to my knowledge, but to be honest with you,
no.
I haven't really paid attention.
Yeah, I don't think he has thrown out a first pitch. I doubt he will ever do that. But, yeah, who knows there. Okay, so this one goes to Steve. Let me throw out one that's kind of difficult, but this is the one that they have slated for me next. All right, you ready, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Steve, this is for the win. Which retired ball player was nicknamed the Iron Bird?
Lou Gehrig?
No, it's not Lou Gehrig. Ben, what is it?
I want to say it was Cal Ripken Jr.
You got it. 2-1. Ben hoping for a comeback. Okay. Ben, it's now your question. Florida State's Jameis Winston became the youngest player to win the Heisman back in December of 2013. The oldest winner also happened to play for Florida State, too. Who is he? Who is he?
I know his last name is Ward. Charlie Ward?
No, that's wrong. Steve for the steal and the win.
Chris Winkie?
Bam. Steve, enjoy the game, my man. Former Noles quarterback, Chris Winkie. He was 28 years old when he won the Heisman in 2000. Steve, Ben, thank you so much for playing. That was pretty fun. Thank you so much, guys. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back. Did you know, and I'm curious, Ian Hawley, did you know any of those answers? Those are pretty tough.
I had no idea, to be honest with you.
I had no idea what a few of those. Those were pretty tough, all right? Next time, I may not make them as tough, but I want our listeners to earn them, right? We educate, enlighten, and entertain here on Current Sports, right? All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back live here in Studio S, we will bring on our two guests for today's Current Sports. They are members of Family. Forget About Me, I Love You. Community Outreach Coordinator Miranda Carter and Alana Jackson, Social Media Liaison for Family. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. An eventful hour. Spent segment A getting the whole Thomas Kithier situation off of my chest. Thomas Kithier will not be eligible to play at any point during his senior season. He wanted to transfer from Macomb, Dakota to Clarkston. That move was blocked by the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Saw coverage from the court hearing yesterday, and I was just kind of sick to my stomach, and we just finished segment B by giving away a pair of tickets to check out the Michigan State and Michigan men's basketball game, a big game for Tom Izzo's team as they will welcome a rival, in-state rival, the team down the road, the Michigan Wolverines, to the Breslin Center tomorrow at noon. But to close out the hour, I want to welcome two outstanding guests who have been waiting oh so patiently behind the glass to get on the mic. We now have two representatives from the on-campus organization Family. Forget About Me, I Love You, founded by our dear friend of Current Sports, Keon Clinton. And I tell you what, it seems to be growing by the year, by the semester. To talk about a few events coming up for Family that maybe you are interested in and want to attend and possibly just get involved with Family, we have Miranda Carter, who is the community outreach coordinator for Family, as well as Alana Jackson, who is the social media liaison. They are now live here in Studio S. Miranda, Alana, how are you guys doing? Happy Friday.
Good. Happy Friday.
We're doing very good today.
Yes.
That's good. This has been in the works for a while, and I'm glad to have you guys in. And and I love having members of Family on. You guys know Keon, yes, obviously, right?
Yes.
He founded the organization.
He's
always doing something, isn't he?
Yes,
he's a great mentor, honestly.
It's unbelievable. You know, we had Keon. He's been on the show multiple times. Mm-hmm. You know, I helped put Keon through. I pledged Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated when I was a freshman here at Michigan State.
Oh,
and I remember Keon was interested in joining, and just to see him blossom over the years has been quite the journey. He's bodybuilding now. He's got his
1%.
Yeah, 1% better every day. The 60-day challenge. I'm doing that right now. My whole body hurts.
Right,
my
body hurts. Very sore.
That's good stuff. Yes. So first off, I want to start by asking you both how you guys got involved with Family and a little bit of background about the organization. I'll start from my left, your guy, and just Alana, first of all, I'll start with Alana. How did you get involved in what is Family about?
How I got involved was my sophomore year on campus. I went to the participation on campus, and I saw tons of vibrant people, like, having fun, and I wanted to be a part of it. So I approached, I believe, Kevin, and he told me more about it. I went to the meetings, and I wanted to get involved. I wanted the leadership role, so that's why I joined Family. Now I'm social media chair. So.
Gotcha. That's fantastic. Miranda, how did you get involved, and what is Family about in your eyes?
To me, Family is just a really amazing opportunity to get that community service and build those connections on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I've made a lot of great friends through the organization. I'm very passionate about community service. I heard about it through a friend, my friend Malika. She was in a class of mine together, and we bonded, and she was going to these meetings once a week, and I was like, where are you going? Like, how does that work? And she just explained to me what the organization is about, and I really took to it. So I enjoy it. It's really fun.
That is fantastic. How many members do you guys currently have right now?
It's like over 70.
Over 70 members.
And we're still growing. Yes. We just had two new members join yesterday.
Yes, we have two chapters. We have a Detroit chapter
and
an East Lansing chapter, and we're expanding.
So is that 70 combined with the Detroit chapter?
That's just Lansing.
That's just the MSU chapter.
Lansing.
Yeah.
What do you got? When I was on campus, I would dabble in different organizations and try and grow those organizations to hear 70.
70 is growing. It's a new semester.
Growing. Yes.
And growing.
Well, maybe you guys get a few more after some of our listeners hear this interview,
hopefully,
right?
Hopefully.
Yes.
That's our goal.
Definitely. So I heard you guys wanted to come in and talk about what you have on the docket for this semester.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some events that the student body and just those who are listening right now, if they want to attend and come out, what can they look forward to? What do you guys have coming up on the schedule?
So next Thursday, January 18th, we will have a program called Personal Branding, and that will come with Keon Clinton, our founder. He'll be talking about his personal branding and how we can get ourselves out there. One of the things he said last semester was, what do you see when you Google yourself? Is it like something positive or negative? And he'll be like more elaborate on that. So that's very something that somebody can look forward to next Thursday at Bessie Hall, room 112.
Room 112. Miranda, what else you guys have planned?
Well, every other Wednesday, we have a segment on our Instagram and Facebook and Twitter accounts where it's called What's Up Wednesday. And what that is, it's a segment where we get out on campus and we get the student body excited and we question them about relevant topics. Well, this week's What's Up Wednesday is going to be about Oprah running for president. Does she have what it takes?
That speech. We played the speech.
Very wonderful.
Wasn't it great? We played the speech here on Current Sports.
It was great. Yeah,
I watched the Golden Globes. I'm a big TV nut. I watched, in the Blackout, the Time's Up campaign with Time Magazine and Oprah.
Do you think she has what it takes to be our next president?
Oh, what? It's Oprah.
If
Donald Trump can win it,
he's
Oprah.
A billionaire. She's a billionaire.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. So you guys will be discussing that next week.
We'll also be discussing the H&M hoodie topic. Mm-hmm. That's really hot right now on social media. We just want to hear what the community has to say about that. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to touch upon our New Year's resolutions. I know it is well into the new year, and we just want to know where our student body is with that. You know what I mean? It's hard to keep up with those things, especially making ourselves better for the new year. So I think it's important that we reiterate that by getting involved with the campus and just hearing what they have to say.
Mm-hmm. I love having students on the show who are involved in organizations such as Family, because, you know, I'm not too far removed from Michigan State's campus. And I'm just curious, because even though I'm not too far removed, I am removed from the fact is I don't go to a lot of events like I used to, because I'm not a student. You know, I'm working here at Current Sports like 7 days a week. Right. So career life. Right. So I'm curious. I'm always curious to ask students who come in on the show. Mm-hmm. How would you guys assess what the student body relationship is as a whole when it comes to all races, both genders? How would you guys assess the health of the student body here at Michigan State University? I'll start with Miranda this time.
Well, considering one of our three pillars of the organization is bridging that gap between all different minorities on campus and in the community, I think that the culture here is very inclusive. You know what I mean? Here at MSU, we do have our differences. You know what I mean? With organizations like OCAT, there's the ICA program and there's Magic, which I personally attended.
I'm a Magic kid myself.
As a freshman, of course. Magic kids are the best. Didn't you go to Magic, Alana?
No,
I didn't. Oh, you did?
Oh, my God.
I love magic,
but yeah, like that's just another place where I make great connections. I still am in touch with my mentor to this day. But with organizations like that on campus, I feel like we really do provide an inclusive environment. And that's one thing that I do love about MSU, from the med school to the all different types of programs, you will see a wide variety of people. And that's why I love my school, one of the reasons.
So in your eyes, Miranda, the health of the student body is pretty good.
Yes, I would assume so from where I'm standing.
Alana, what about you?
I think it's good, but there's also very room for improvement. Mm-hmm. I think organizations like Family is a great gateway to promote other new organizations, to promote Family or other Black orgs, for example, to get closer. I think there doesn't have to be a limit to just Family. It could be way more to branch out other states, to have other families on a different HBCU, for example. I think that's a great way.
When you look at the organization of Family, I mean, what are the goals this semester for you all? I mean, what do you all want to accomplish as far
expansion.
As your impact goes?
Expansion.
That's the big thing.
We already got 70. Yeah.
How many more are you guys shooting for?
I mean, for sure. Every year people graduate, so we still need people to replace those.
Yeah, and we really just want to work up the people that we have in now. You can have 70 members, but if they're not in a direction that's all, you know what I mean? If it's not productive, if we're not all mentoring these kids and getting them on the right track, you know what I mean? It's more than just a membership. And that's what we try to influence in these kids that are coming in freshman year and just wanting to find their place on campus and get those community service hours. It's like we have to build that community where we love each other. You know what I mean? And we move as a force. So
those listening out there right now, if they're intrigued by what you all are talking about as it relates to Family, how can they get involved and possibly reach out to you all in order to join Forget About Me, I Love You?
Well, first of all, we all have T-shirts. So if you see us with a Family T-shirt, they're very distinct. We have two T-shirts. Mm-hmm. We have a black one with the silver letters, and we have a colorful one. So please walk up to any of us. We're extremely friendly.
There's 70 of them. You can't miss them.
You can't miss us. And you can reach us on Instagram at The Family Movement. And you can also reach us on Twitter at The Family Movement as well, but there's no E in movement. Mm-hmm. And then you can also reach us on Facebook and YouTube at The Family Movement as well. We also have a Snapchat, The Family Movement with no E. So, you can reach us there. We're very active on social media. We have over 1,000 followers.
Over 1,000 followers.
We hit our mark a long ago.
And if you follow us, you can see some familiar faces on our social media. So if you see us in person, just come up to us.
Yes, you can see some familiar faces. Our What's Up Wednesdays, once again, are posted on those social media outlets. And you never know, you could be featured in one of those videos. Yes. So
how about that? Yeah. That is fantastic stuff. And we will be sure, Ian, when we post today's episode, we'll be sure to post those links and, mm-hmm. let people know that when we post the episode, how they can get involved as well. The fantastic Alana Jackson, as well as Miranda Carter, both members of Family. We got to have you guys back on. Yes. Anytime you guys want to come on and talk about future events you have, the door of current sports is always open, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much, all right? Okay, well, we have literally, what, 90 seconds left here on the show. Ian, let's hit on with Reflection Friday, where we look at the week that has been here on current sports and playoff predictions. I'm curious to see what you think about the playoffs this weekend. Ian, hit them with it. Okay, Ian, 1 minute left. What was your favorite moment here on the week that has been of current sports? And just give me a bold prediction about this weekend in NFL playoffs.
My favorite moment was seeing the Spartans take that overtime victory against Rutgers. You know, you a W is a W.
Yeah.
You take them any way you can get. A bold prediction is the Vikings will lose to the Saints on a last-second field goal.
Really? Okay, you're going with the Vikings in that game. I think the Vikings are going to pull that out.
No, I'm saying the Saints will win.
Oh, you're saying the Saints will
win? Yes, sir.
You're going with the Saints over the Vikings at home? Interesting. Okay, for me, just the guest that we've had this week. I loved having Dan Bogan on yesterday to kind of give some insight as to why he retired. All right, we'll have a full recap of the sporting weekend here at Mid-Michigan and beyond on Monday. Have a great weekend. I'm Al Martin. Be easy, people.